Today we're turning to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to read just the first three verses together, and then we'll move to verse 26 and read through to verse 5 in chapter 14. So Numbers 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men who were heads of the children of Israel. Then to verse 26 in the same chapter. They went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. We'll end our reading there at the end of verse 5. We'll look to the Lord to add his blessing to it. The last time that we were on the move with Moses seems perhaps so long ago, but you may remember that we were looking at Numbers chapter 10, where we noted fresh trouble along the way. We looked at these people complaining, and we noted that they were dissatisfied about their situation. It seemed as if they had a very short memory, that they had forgotten about God's goodness toward them, and despite everything that God had done for them, they were still not content, and they craved the old life that they had left behind. That, of course, brought the displeasure of God against them, and God dealt with them both directly and indirectly. He sent fire amongst them when they cried for the flesh pots of Egypt. He gave them what they wanted, but it proved to be a most bitter experience, because when they got the desires of their heart, it brought them barrenness and bitterness. On top of all of that, their leader Moses was greatly discouraged. He had come to the end of his tether. He had led these people. He had often listened to their complaints and their murmurings. He had often listened to their displeasure and saw the how that they went off in the face of God who had been so good to them. And by now Moses is so down that he wants God to take his life. But God didn't leave him in such a state. He had to get on with the work that God had called him to do, and those that he couldn't control, he had to leave them in the hands of God, and God would deal with them. You would have thought that after that experience that the people would move on, and all thoughts of murmuring and complaining and any bitterness that they had would surely have been removed, but that's not so. If we had taken time today to read in Numbers chapter 12, you will see that the people are complaining again. Only this time the complaints have come from Aaron and from Miriam, Moses' own family. They undermine the authority of Moses' leadership, and God would have none of it. And God not only corrected them, but it led to Miriam staying outside the camp for 7 days as a result of her leprosy. And had it not been for the intercession of Moses, things might just have been much worse. Then we move into the chapter that we have read this morning, Numbers 13. And here we have this great description of the spies who were sent out to take a look at the land. Do you remember that by this time, the children of Israel have already traveled many miles, they have covered a great distance, but they have now arrived at a place called Kadesh Barnea. And the place that they have arrived at, it sits at the very border of the land that God had promised to them. I'm sure there must have been a great sense of excitement amongst them. I'm sure that after all the plodding through difficult periods, with all the times that God had intervened and chastised them for their murmuring and complaining, I'm sure that as they traveled along, hoping that soon they would come to the edge of the land of promise, that when they actually arrived there, there must have been a sense of excitement and a great delight to be there. But sadly, that is not the case. When you look at what we read today in Numbers chapter 13, and into chapter 14, there are two things that stand out that I hope will be helpful for us. The first is the response of the people. Like I've already said, they've now reached the edge of their territory, territory that they would soon claim for themselves because God had already promised them that this would be the place where they would enjoy so much by way of blessing from his hand. And just as it seems, as they stand on the edge of Canaan, as they stand on the verge of victory, it now seems that they're beginning to falter in their faith. What if the land is not everything God said it would be? What if they couldn't drive out their enemies from the land? What if the land couldn't hold this vast congregation of people just as they stand on the edge of victory, ready to go in to possess everything that God has promised to them, their faith begins to falter, and then you hear them say this, "Let us appoint a captain or a leader, and let us return again to Egypt." Can you imagine that? This people that had been led and fed and kept and blessed, this people who are standing on the very edge of the land of promise, and their response is this, "Let us appoint a captain and return again to Egypt." Why on earth would they have responded in that way? Why on earth, so near the place where God had promised them, would they want to return to a land of oppression? A land where they'd cried out to God in the midst of their bondage. A place where they couldn't cope. A place where they had come and cried out to God to deliver them. And now on the very edge of being delivered, they come and they say, "Give us a captain again so that we might return to Egypt." Why? Well, the fact is that they failed to trust in God.
The simple answer is that these people did not take God at His word, and faith always takes God at His word. Despite all God's dealings with them, despite all of God's promises to them, when it came to that time when it mattered the most, the people failed to trust in God. Sometimes, as you and I journey through life, we're a bit like that, aren't we? We pray about things, and we look to the Lord and we say, Lord, if only You would do this, and the Lord says, I'll do it, and He does. If only this, if only that, and God steps in and God enlarges her horizons. He enlarges the place of our tents and He says to us, go and do it. And whether it's to do with us individually or whether it's to do with us collectively, the very moment that God asks us to step out in faith is the very moment we ask a question, what if? What if? Maybe God's speaking to your heart about serving Him. And you're excited and thrilled. God has laid His hand upon you and said, there's a work that I want you to do. But as it gets nearer the time, Lord, what if I can't cope? Lord, what if the demands are too great? What if? What if? And almost on the verge of stepping out in victory, your faith falters. What you need to do is to continue to trust in God, for the God who has led you thus far will not let you down in days to come. Sometimes collectively, we pray about things and we ask for God to intervene, for God to do this. Lord, open up that door. Lord, take us this way. Lord, show us where You want us to go. And as soon as God says, I'll do that, we falter in our faith. What if, Lord, we get down this way and that happens? Don't worry about that. The Lord knows all about that. What if? There's always a what if in every situation that we face in life. And sometimes we need to be prepared to take God at His word. To know that God knows the end from the beginning. And when there seems to be uncertainty in our minds, to be absolutely sure if God has asked us to do it, that God knows exactly what He's doing. And He's saying to you and to me today, my child, trust Me. You're almost on the verge of victory here. You've almost reached where I want you to be, and now you've just a step of faith to take. Don't allow your faith to falter, but step out and trust in Me. Because I will not let you down. We've all had those times of uncertainties in our life. It's understandable. We're only human. But you know, it's much easier to talk about faith than it is to employ it when we need that faith the most. Faith takes God at His word, and it needs no further evidence. When Campbell Morgan was a young Christian, he used to visit some elderly ladies who could no longer get out to church. On a weekly basis, he would visit several of them, read the scriptures, he would pray. Some of you young people would learn much from going out to some saints of God like that and sitting down in fellowship with them. And encourage them and allow them to encourage you. I'm not talking just about young people. I'm talking about some of us young in the faith and younger in years. But when Campbell Morgan was there, one day he read to an elderly saint. He read to her the words that we're very familiar with, the Great Commission in Matthew's Gospel. And he finished with the words, and lo, I am with you always. And he looked at the lady. And he said to her, dear, isn't that a lovely promise? She took him by the hand and replied quickly. She said, son, that's not a promise. That's a fact. That's not a promise. That's a fact. Faith takes God at His word. that needs no further evidence. The hymn writer says to have a faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. That's the kind of faith we need. Faith that trusts God through thick and thin. Faith that shines in the darkest of life's experiences. Faith that takes God at His word. Faith that steps out in obedience with the knowledge that God knows the way that we take. For these people, there was a lapse of faith, and it came just as the entrance of Canaan was in sight. But I want you to note not just the response of the people, I want you to note the report to the people. We know that the spies did go out, and we know that they went and they looked at the land just as they said they would do, and when they came back to the people, they brought the report. And there are three simple things about this report, as time permits, that I want to mention just in passing. I want you to note, first of all, their confession. Look at Numbers 13, verse 27. They come back again to Moses, and they told him and said, "We came onto the land where you sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." And what they did, they would have held up what they had brought home. The grapes that were hanging. And they were saying to Moses, "Look, it's just everything that God said it would be. We have been there, Moses. We have looked at the land. We have brought you back some of the fruit. And at this stage, there is great excitement amongst the people because Canaan seems to be everything God said it would be. It flowed with milk and with honey. For the people, there were better days on ahead. They'd often craved for Egypt. And soon they're going to crave for it again because their hearts are filled with fear when they listen to the report and they think of all the giants and all the obstacles that are in their way. But initially their hearts are excited because whatever it was that they were going through at that time, whatever it was they faced in the future, the fact of the matter is that for them there were better days on ahead. All they had to do was keep trusting. That's one of the reasons today why you and I must learn to walk in faith and keep our eyes on Him. It's one thing to look at life as it is now, but we need to look on to the end and realize that whatever any one of us and every one of us are facing today, for the child of God, there are better days on ahead. Better days. It mightn't seem like that just now for some of you. Some of you are sitting here this morning heartbroken. You've lost loved ones and you're finding the going so tough that you wonder at times if you'll really be able to keep going. The loneliness is unbearable. The pain. Nobody seems to understand where you are and how you feel. And right now in the midst of your circumstances, you find it difficult. And I'd say to you this morning, brother or sister in Christ, listen. Look up from where you are. And look on to the end. And grasp that it won't always be like this. There really are better days on ahead. You might say to me, "Pastor, that's all well and good, and I know that. But the fact of the matter is, I just can't seem to get through today without thinking about tomorrow and all my tomorrows." And I understand that. But God will give you the grace to see those days through. And when you see them through, God will, He'll not only bring you through them, but He'll give you a glimpse of all that there is ahead of you. And it won't always be like this. A young boy was sitting one day in a train. He was all alone. He had been visiting at his grandparents for the summer holidays. And he had said farewell to them, and they put him on the train, and he embarked on a very long journey home. It was very hot. Traveling along the tracks, the windows open made it very dusty, and he soon became very uncomfortable. There's no doubt that the little lad was finding the journey tough. An elderly lady who was sitting in the opposite side of the carriage saw him. She wondered, should she go up to him? And for a period of time, she just watched him. And then finally, she got up of her seat, went up and sat down beside the little boy. And she said to him, son, you tired with this long journey? You feeling a bit down? No, ma'am, said the young boy. I'm a bit hot. And I'm a bit tired and I'm a bit down. But I don't mind the length of the journey. You see, ma'am, when I get to the end of this journey, my father is waiting there for me. And I'm absolutely excited about that. Sometimes the journey's tough. Sometimes the days are long. Sometimes the nights are lonely. Sometimes the circumstances are overwhelming. Sometimes we feel like throwing in the towel. But remember that come what may and come what must on this journey that we make through life, our Heavenly Father is waiting for us. And it'll be so different when we get to the end of the journey. That's why the hymn writer says, onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall walk the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Their confession, their concern. Look at what we read in Numbers 13 and verse 28. When the report comes back, some say, nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land, the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. No sooner have they seen the land with all its blessings, then their faith begins to falter again. And instead of thinking what lay ahead of them and all the blessings they enjoy, they begin to think about the difficulties that lay ahead. They begin to think about the dangers they have to face. And again, these people lose sight of God and His promises to them. Instead of grasping the opportunity God gave to them, they're overcome with obstacles that seem to be in their way. You see, the real reason why they didn't want to press on, it wasn't that it wasn't a land that flowed with milk and honey. They'd already viewed that. The reason why they didn't want to press on was because it was too tough. Too tough. This group of people are living in the plain. This group of people are up on the mountains. The children of Anak are here, and these people, my, they're so big and they're so mighty, we were just like grasshoppers in their sights. Moses said, but you're on the verge of Canaan. God says you're on the edge of the land of promise. But when the going got tough, these people just couldn't get going. Their faith faltered. And again, they lost sight of their goal. When you become negative and pessimistic, that's often the way it is in the Christian life, and some of us have been there. Maybe we're there this morning. Maybe we've been there for a long time. And it robs us of the joy of entering into everything that God has for us. Sometimes, instead of concentrating on the blessings we have, we get weighed down with other things. At times we're not in the place to grasp our opportunities because we're overcome by obstacles that stand in our way. And at times like these, we're overwhelmed again with the question, what if? What if? Beloved, let's deal with realities today. The Lord Jesus Christ never promised that our journey through life was going to be easy. Now, I know that in the world in which we live today, there are some, in fact, there might be a growing number of people who will preach this easy believism. You come to Christ and everything will be rosy. You come to Christ, you'll never have another difficult day throughout the journey. I never knew what it was to have difficulties till I did come to Christ. Jesus never said that the road was going to be easy. He did say he'd lighten the load. He did say he'd impart his peace. He did say he'd be with us every step of the way. But he never said that the Christian would make their way home on a bed of ease. He spoke about cross-bearing before there'd ever be crown-wearing. So what I'm saying to your heart and mind today is this. There'll always be difficulties to confront us. Always. There'll always be disappointments in the Christian life. There'll always be obstacles to overcome when we seek to go forward with God and grow in grace and in our knowledge of Christ. And if we're going to rise above them, we need to get our eyes off them and we need to get our eyes on him. On him. Why? Because he's the sovereign Lord. He has everything in his control. He is with us every step of the way. And as the hymn writer says, he will never cause his child a needless tear. The things that you can't handle and I can't handle, we can handle together. When we put our hand by faith in the hand of God and we allow him to order all our ways. That doesn't mean to say it won't be painful. That doesn't mean to say that it's going to be easy. But it gives us confidence that whatever we're passing through in the providence of God, that he knows all about it. Their confession, their concern. Look at their confidence. Numbers 13, verse 30 simply says this, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Let's possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Listen to this again. There are those who have come back and at the beginning, initially, here they are, and they're bubbling with joy, and they're saying, look at this, we have brought this home. Canaan's everything that God said it would be. And then when they begin to think about it, can't do this. People are too great. Giants are too large. We can't do this. And Caleb comes into the conversation. And he says, hold on. Let's go up and do it at once. Let's possess it just as God has promised it to us. We are well able to overcome it. Thank God for men of faith like Caleb. They see that little bit further than everyone else. Caleb didn't worry about the size of the problem. Caleb trusted in the greatness of God. The majority of them were concerned about difficulties and dangers. But Joshua and Caleb bring a different report. The giants were great, but God was greater still. The giants were strong, but God was stronger still. We are well able to overcome it. You see, the real question the people had to address was this. Not how big was the problem, but how great was their God. How great was their God. Beloved, today, we all have our own giants to overcome. All of us. If you're sitting here this morning and you're in that painful, difficult place, don't think that you're alone, because you're not. Not only is the Lord with you, but there are others in a similar place to you today. You just don't know about it. We all have our own giants to overcome. There's times we stand back and looking at those giants, our response is, I'm just not able. Or as the apostle said, who is sufficient for these things? And then God, through his word, says, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We have a God today who can do anything but fail. Greater than our enemies. More powerful than all our foes. Because he is the Almighty God and he is our God. And nothing is too difficult for him. You say, but Pastor, if only I could believe that. Well, that's where faith takes over and needs no further evidence. If there are giants in our lives more than we're able to bear, and the mountains we climb are just too steep at this present time, fear not. He is with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for he is thy God and will still give thee aid. He'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by his righteous, omnipotent hand. I'm not saying today that your problems are not great and that your pathway is not a difficult one. But keep pressing on by faith. For there are better days on ahead. And keep your eyes on the goal. You're on the victory side. And if you forget everything else I've said today, remember this. If God is for us, who can be against us? Keep pressing on in faith. God will not let you down. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we acknowledge today that there have been times, and perhaps we're going through one of those times just now, where our faith has been shaken, where the storms of life have so rattled us that our faith has begun to falter, and we're not standing on the promises of God the way that we used to do. Perhaps the giants are closing in around us, and life at the moment is so difficult that we see no way out. Would you encourage our hearts today and remind us that we're not facing all of this alone? That we have your promises to encourage our hearts. That we have your presence with us continually. And our Father, that you will not have us to endure above that which we are able to bear at this time. So as we seek to learn some practical lessons from this passage of Scripture today, may we be men and women of faith who trust God implicitly in every situation that we find ourselves in. Give us grace, our Father, so to do, for Christ our Savior's sake.